Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. In this episode, I speak to Cork powerhouse Lyra.
That really stems the whole value that I hold now as an artist of the staying true to yourself.
Yeah.
Like it, that is kind of what massively came out of it, because, you know, I could have lost myself for a few years being somebody else and lost my nan, and I think I would have been in a very dark and lonely place. Whereas I lost her, but I found myself, and that was really nice for me because I'm now so happy as a person. And I don't know, it being her song, then I kind of always knew that they're the songs I should be writing, and this is where I'm going to be.
Lyra is a singer-songwriter who's known for her distinctive voice, striking outfits, and her electrifying live shows. In this conversation, we speak about confidence and staying true to yourself, the special bond she had with her nan Kitty, and the absolute joy she feels when she's performing. She's independent, great crack, and full of integrity, and it was absolutely brilliant to chat to her. Here it is. Lyra, it's great to meet you.
Oh, it's great to meet you too. How's it going?
I'm good. I've been very excited about meeting you. And from the second I met you, which kind of bumped into you by accident outside.
Going for my coffee fix.
Yeah, you know what? You just seemed exactly as I thought you would be, really sound.
Thanks. Try my best. Yeah. Keep those boots on the ground, you know?
Yeah, it's important, isn't it?
Definitely. Especially in our industry. Oh my God, you can get a bit carried away with yourself and you're like, back it down. You ain't Beyonce yet.
I like the way you said yes.
Of course, yes. Manifestation.
And actually, speaking of Beyonce, I can't help but think when I see you on stage, you know, you're this enigmatic performer. You look like you're 10 foot tall when you're on stage. Might be the heels, but you know.
Definitely.
You just have this aura. Your outfits are class. That voice of yours is glorious. And you just look like the most confident human being in the world. The only other person as confident is probably Beyonce.
Learned it from my sister, didn't I? What am I like? Oh my God.
She talks about, you know, having this alter ego, this, you know, Sasha Fierce.
Yeah.
Do you relate to that?
I feel like I do. And I never thought that I did. And I think maybe the past year, I'm kind of like, maybe I do. Because like sometimes when I go on stage, I shocked myself because like I look back at videos and I'm like, how did I do that? Or like, why did I do that? Or like, how did I have the confidence to do that? You know, like certain things. But like in that moment when I'm on the stage, like I could just do anything because I feel like this power come over my soul. Mm. And I'm just like enjoying myself so much, I could just do anything. Like at one point I crabbed across the stage. I'm like, why did I do that?
You but crabbed across the stage. What do you mean, like
the actual crab dance? So I was explaining how like I can't dance, but when I'm on stage I love to move to like
right,
my song.
Okay.
So like I call it abstract movement, and I was like, everyone do your worst dance ever together with me, and then I just crabbed. My sister was like, no you didn't. I'm like, I did, I done it. That was it, that was me.
So you're in flow.
Mm-hmm. You're in flow. You know, it's really interesting to me because it is that thing of when you hear people, and you hear it a lot from artists who feel like they get lost in it. As you said, when you watch the footage back, it's like, was that me? Did I do that? Is it like you almost go to another plane where you don't remember what's even happening?
I just feel like I become so, it sounds so like corny, but like so happy in myself that like I don't know, something just takes over me and I just forget everything. Like the nerves go out the bloody window the second I step on stage, and it's just because I'm so happy to be there and like seeing people singing or dancing or like anything, just interacting in any particular way, I just become like this new woman. I just feel so free. And I know it sounds so corny, but like I do, because I feel like that's the only real thing that I'm good at in life is singing, writing music and performing. So like I'm there and I'm getting to kind of like finally shine as who I really want to be. So I just,
yeah, I love that. Crazy. There is the performer you that is larger than life, and probably if I was to meet that Lyra, I might be a bit intimidated. But when I say I wasn't surprised when I met you, I've heard you in an interview, I've seen you on TV, and when I hear you speak as yourself, you just come across as such a grounded, I will say, normal person, which you are, obviously. And you're a grafter. Like I offered to help with your bag, and you were like, nah, I got this.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I have to. I'm like, I am my own kind of identity, and like I have to like make sure that the only person going to get me to where I really want to go realistically is myself. Yes, my amazing team are massively helping me get on those bigger pedestals, but like, you know, I have to be doing it as much myself as I can. And I like to be the normal person, because I really, really am. And like I actually get a lot of DMs and stuff saying like, I thought you were going to be right, B-I-T-C-H, but then I went and saw you live and like, you're normal, you're so normal, you're so like us. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Like, it's not all what you see. I suppose if I did see myself from that kind of perspective, I would probably like, Jesus, she seems like a right old pain in the arse. But I'm not. It's just who I become.
Yeah.
A pain in the arse. No, I'm not.
No, it's great. You're somebody who is comfortable in their own skin, and you're, I suppose, do you have a respect for who you are at your core to go, this is me, take it or leave it?
Yeah, massively I do, because like I spent years like not having that confidence in myself at all.
Did you?
And like I used to really beat myself up about like my voice. People would say like, oh, it's really loud. And obviously when I moved over to England,
that's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a good thing you have a powerful voice.
Yeah, it's like one guy was like, oh, you sound like you're singing in a football stadium, and I was like, oh my god. And it really, now looking back at it, I shouldn't have let it affect me as much as it did, but it really did. And every time it goes like singing the demos in the studio, I would literally like clam up and like try to pronounce my THs, or like try to sound a bit more poppy, or try to do these like runs in my voice that all the pop artists were doing. But I realistically, I can't do, like, that's not my voice. I can't pronounce my THs when I sing.
That's a Cork thing.
Yeah.
But look, what are you going to do? That's your voice.
Exactly.
That is who you are.
And I think this is the first time I'm really enjoying it, because I'm not being apologetic to being weird and wonderful and wearing stuff that I want to wear that some people are like, what in the name of God, you're one wearing. I'm loving it. And it's the happiest I've ever been being me as an artist. It really is, because I just feel free and I feel like no one's going to stop me, because they can't, because I'm just going to keep going even if they try, kind of vibe.
Yeah. So they tried, and they did try and change it, didn't they?
They did. They were like, girl, you need to dye your hair black, and you need to like be really gothic, and you need to like don't speak in between your songs, just let them roll over so people are really mysterious about you and they don't know who you are. And then I was really unhappy, because like I can't not talk. Like anyone that comes to the show, they're like, Jesus, more like a comedy show than a singing show. My dad's like, you're like Christy Moore. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Oh, God almighty. So I was just so unhappy. I was like, lads, I can't do that. I was like, I feel like people aren't getting to know me at all. And then I'm singing and they are only getting this like one spectrum of me, which is like this dark gothic girl on stage. And there was no connection with the audience. There's no connection with any fans or anything like that. And I was like, this is just soul sucking.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's it. If that's the way you want me to be, then I'm out.
This
like,
is not gonna
I just
work.
Couldn't do it. I couldn't. I was so unhappy.
And well done. That takes guts, because I would imagine when you really want something and you're working so hard for it, when you have a kind of a carrot being dangled in front of you of we're going to work with you, but you got to do X, Y and Z.
Yeah.
And you go, no, I'm not going to do that. That must be difficult to kind of go, oh, what have I said no to?
Yeah, it was really hard. And I was scared that maybe I had like lost my opportunity, and like these were very big people in the industry in London. And I was like, well, they obviously know what they're talking about. So obviously I don't know what I'm talking about. But I just think it's because I'd come home and I would hate like an email coming in being like, oh, you're going to the studio tomorrow and could be with the biggest person in the world. And I hated going there because I was just, I didn't know who I had to be that day.
Yeah.
And like getting up to sing the demos was just freaking me out to death.
Okay, yeah.
So like I was just like, what is this? And I got bought in for doing songs by myself with my friend in a garage. Like I obviously knew what was the real me.
Yeah.
But then I kind of got transformed a bit, but I was like, right, I'm going back to basics. And I had to take some time out anyway, and it really gave me time to like put light on me, my life, what I want to do, how I want to get there. And I felt like if I went in my own path and didn't make it, then that would be okay with me. But if I went on someone else's path and didn't make it, I'd always have someone to blame and it would be myself for not staying true to myself. So I was like, right, let's just go on the other path. Let's just go for it.
Let's talk about you as a kid, because obviously, you know, the woman I see in front of me today is, you know, brimming with confidence in the best way. You've got a lovely, warm, earthy personality. Now, in saying that, we were just joking. So we took a quick selfie before we came in and I paid you a compliment straight away. You just, you know, you did that Irish thing of Aaron Owen. You kind of put yourself down, even though you're absolutely stunning. But, you know, we do sometimes struggle with that, don't we?
Yeah.
But what were you like as a kid?
I was a bit wild, I suppose.
Okay.
Like in the way that my mum's always say I'd be drinking puddle water outside all the time. They'd come out and I'd have like cuts on my forehead and they're like, oh, she's drinking out of the puddle.
She's at one with nature.
Yeah, she's just so unique, her child, the elixir of life. I was always be the one that I'd have to have like matching clothes for everything, like the frilly knicker things.
Okay, so style and fashion was big in your life from the get-go?
Always. Like I'd say, I look back on my family photos and I'm like, Marta, who did I think I was with the, like, you only go to the pound shop and you get the glasses with the clip on earrings clinky clonky shoes. Like I'd be wearing them as daily wear. Like that would just be me going around the place. My sister was like, look at your one.
What age are we talking?
All the way up. In those photos I'd say I'm probably like 4, 5 all the way up. Like in Coolmain Beach with like a matching swimsuit thing that like literally I probably shouldn't have been wearing at that age. It's like no sides on it. I was like, what's happening here?
I can't help but think of the Dolly Parton quote, more is more.
Yeah, that was so me. I
You're
am
extra.
More is more. Extra. Literally when I go on stage I'm like, will I wear this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Will I wear this? Yeah. With them together? Yeah.
My Throw it all like, on.
Yeah. I literally had a lecture picnic. I wasn't even supposed to be wearing that cowboy hat with my outfit.
Okay.
I bought a cowboy hat just for the weekend. I had like gold hanging off the rims of it. And I had this full drag queen leotard with like all sequences on it.
Fabulous.
And I just put the hat on. I was like,
it works.
Yes, this is happening. And I'm going on stage wearing this. And my sister's like, are you really going to do that? I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. So literally for the first song and then I threw it off so dramatic side of stage. I was loving life. And I was like, she's back. The 4-year-old is back.
But you know what? Isn't that it? Actually, you've probably hit the nail on the head, because we keep hearing about the importance of play in adulthood, because as we grow up and we're meant to be responsible.
Never going to happen here.
Yeah. But like, we forget sometimes of play and laughter and crack and being silly and the stuff that we did naturally as kids that was so good for us.
Yeah.
And you get to play when you're on stage.
All the time.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, it's so much fun. It's literally like playing dressing up and having your own concert, except for this time it's not your mom and dad. It's actually people paying to come and see you. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's not me just going around the kitchen with like a tennis racket pretending to play the guitar to my mom and dad singing Ava Cassidy or something. It's like, it's real life adulthood that I've lived through my childhood and it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's like, I never feel like I'm at work. Like my dad's like, you have the best job in the world. I'm like, yeah, I kind of forget that it's a job, but it doesn't, never feels like it. It's the coolest ever. I don't think I'll ever grow up. Ever.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Mom. It's not happening.
Yeah. Well, look, I suppose you're doing your dharma. You're doing your purpose, your life's purpose. You're doing what you're meant to be doing.
For sure.
Yeah, you're in line with it. It's fab. So flamboyant, not shy, wild, earthy, in touch with nature, kid. When did the singing start? Was it always there?
It was always there, but it actually was massively influenced by my sister, who's an amazing singer. And Oh, I'm like her little shadow. Like everyone's always like, oh, there's Sarah's shadow. And I'm like, yeah, here's me. Like I used to do everything that she used to. So she started singing. So I'd always be in the background doing like the backing vocals or something like that. So it kind of started like that. And then I decided, oh, maybe actually I am as good as my sister. This is pretty cool. And then we just started singing together and everything started in the church. Then she left the church choir. I took over the church choir. And then just kept going, like all the school plays, is like always wanting to be the lead part. After Riku 1 year, I was young Evita for the first half and she was older Evita the second half. And I was like, this is the coolest ever. Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Cool. I was like, the only thing is, she got to wear all the best outfits. Because Eve at the start was wearing rags. And I was like, great, I'm the flamboyant one. She couldn't care what she wears. And she's the one there with all the diamante dresses on. I was like, got it. But that's kind of like where my music starts. And then obviously having Irish family, every time we go anywhere, like they're like, go on up there now on the mantelpiece and sing. And you'd always go up by the fire and just have an old sing song.
Yeah, of course.
You'd have to.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. Like my uncle, God rest his soul, ask us to sing Ireland's Call all the time.
Oh, really?
All the time.
Would you give a welly?
Always. Always have to. I always was centre stage no matter where I was. Belting it out.
So you might as well have been in the Aviva.
Yeah, exactly. That was me.
I love it. And would you sing together then yourself? Like say if there was a, you know, get together and, you know, there was a bit of food, bit of drink, bit of crack, and then, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning is a bit of an old sing song. Would you guys maybe sing an old song together?
Always. And you know what I the weird that. Thing is that like obviously I've taken music on as my profession and yeah. I love it. But once my sister's in the room, like, I'm always the BV. Like, I'm always like, okay, you start. You start. Like, literally, like, we're 12. And she's like, you're the professional singer. Would you just start? And I'm like, no, you start. And then I'll just come
lovely.
In. So, like, we have, like, Caledonia down to a T. I mean, we are, like, so good at it. We're literally, like, just so in sync. We've been singing it for so long. I'm like, yeah, this is our tune. This is our jam.
There's somebody I want to talk about because I know... She meant an awful lot to you. Your nan, Kitty.
Yeah. I love her to death. She's like the coolest nan ever. She was. I always talked about her as if she's still here because I don't know.
She feels like she's still here?
Defo.
Yeah.
Oh, I get really emotional talking about this.
Okay.
It's just, it's been years and I still get it. It's weird. She was great.
Yeah.
And why am I getting
it's okay.
Like this?
I get it. I get it completely.
She's the reason why I wrote Emerald, my very first song that I wrote. And I think it was after that song that I was like, oh, I'm not just a singer. Because like, I'm going to call a spade. I don't think I probably would have made it as far if I was just a singer because there is so many amazing singers out there. Like we are riddled with them. Like they're amazing. I think what was setting me apart was my songwriting and I massively felt like writing Emerald showed me that.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I was like, okay, I can do this because I'm writing these songs that, you know, I was getting a lot of contact from London, from like the big record labels, like, because of this one song. So it had to have been good. And it was because of her. And she was really worried about me being in the music industry and like going back and forth to England and worried that I would never make enough money. Or like she'd always be like, go down to my bed. There's a tenner underneath it. Like take it. She'd always try to look out for me because, you know, for her, I was a singer and this was my career. So writing that song and playing it to her was like such a game changer for me.
That must have been a huge moment.
Yeah. It was. She at the first listen, I don't know if she like really got it. And then the second time she was like, oh, and you wrote this. You wrote that air. She kept saying, you wrote the air. And I was like, yeah, I wrote the air. And she was just so thrilled about it.
Yeah.
And it just was an eye opener to be like, I can do this. And it has made me as an artist. Like, you know, it got picked up for Striking Out. It got picked up for like the Guinness advert, It got picked up for a lot of things. And I know this sounds so weird and some people listening will be like, this doesn't happen. But it really does. Every time I sing this song, I played it at Wilderness, I played it at Electric Picnic, it's always lashing down rain. And second this song comes on, it stops. And I'm not even joking. It's the freakiest thing ever. And I said it to my team at Electric Picnic. I was like, this song, just wait. Just like this happens. So I feel like she's still always there. And it was a great way to start my career with such... a song that meant so much to me.
I write this song for you, for hope to keep you at
Because she was in your lives.
A lot. Like yeah. we, like my mum bloody killed me, but like she basically reared us. Like, you know, we'd go to our nan's all the time. We'd go every day after school, we'd go.
So like very near to your house growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very near, like, you know, it's all that song's about like running in the fields of that. She lived up in like these castle grounds and we just had such a fantastic childhood with her. Like we were able to go make mud pies and do all those kind of like things that probably nowadays you wouldn't be doing because you'd be sitting inside on your phone or something like that. So we had a lovely childhood with her.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky. She was so close to us. Every Christmas she'd be down, always giving out to me about making the trifle wrong. One year I put honeycomb in it and she's like, what is this trifle? I'm like, it's a new era, it's a new trifle.
Don't mess with the original.
Do not.
So if you were to describe her to me as somebody who never met her, what would you, how would, like, what kind of person was she? So she was obviously a truth teller. She didn't hold back.
She did not hold back. She was fierce. She was an extremely strong woman, but in a very kind and caring way.
Yeah.
Like she really was. Like she looked out for us a lot. I remember any time I'd have an argument with my mum and dad, like she'd be the one I'd go to, like all the time. So she was just a powerful, caring, loving, small, tiny, tiny woman, like a little Polly Pocket with grey hair.
Okay.
And she's just, and she was always bloody cold. She's constantly in fleeces upon fleeces, sitting out in the baking sun, and we're all there in bikinis, and she's just sitting there in her fleeces with her big hat on her. She was just the cutest thing ever.
Oh,
I loved her.
Yeah, yeah, it's obvious you did.
Yeah, I did. She meant a lot.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm.
Yeah, she was, and as I said, she did curve my career because during that time when I was, you know, getting all these call-ins from Labour and stuff like that, is when she started to fall ill. And like my mom kind of wanted to protect me from that because she knew that this could have been a make or break kind of career time for me.
Yeah, so you were in England at
this
stage.
Yeah, I was over in England. And she's like, oh, she's fine, she's fine. And I was like, oh, you're doing this thing now.
Mm.
So I was like to my sister, I was like, can you tell me? Because like if something happens, like I would never be able to live for myself. And my sister was like, yeah, look, she's not doing great. And I was like, okay, well, I'm coming home then. That's it. So I booked to come home. I was coming home for like a good few weeks.
Mm.
And that turned into weeks and weeks and weeks. And I just couldn't leave. I just couldn't leave her. Like, because she was ill. And
do you mind me asking what was...
She ended up having esophageal cancer stage 4 when they actually found out.
Okay, I'm so
sorry. So, like, she loved her house. Her house was so cute. It was like a tiny little green bungalow. And she obviously, like every old person, wants to stay in their house and didn't want to be in hospitals and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Myself and my sister decided to move into her house and like care for her that time.
Yeah.
And like it was hard, but it was the best decision of my entire life. And I wouldn't have even minded if I had to have let my career slip away and not be here to do
really?
That. Because I wouldn't give it up for the world. And it was just lovely to give that back to her because she had minded us for so many years, like step in and then mind her. That was magical for me and changed me so much. Like, you know, seeing that person that you love so much.
I know.
Go through that and be there for them. You just change.
Yeah. Well, it's the most stunning act of love to be there for somebody in a time when they really need it because... I'm guessing that she needed a lot of care.
Yeah.
So, and you were there doing it. And that's not easy.
No.
It's not an easy thing to do, to be minding somebody so intimately, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's true love.
Yeah. It's true so, love. You know what, as well, it had great memories because I remember it was like around Christmas time and I was belting away up in the kitchen cleaning Oh Holy Night,
yeah.
as you do, having my own little concert up in the kitchen. And anyway, I didn't go for the high note because she was resting and I was like, oh, I'll bloody wake her up. I'm bellowing up here like there's no tomorrow. I think I'm Adele. And then my sister was in the room and she cocks her eye open and she goes, well, she didn't hit that high note, did she? And I was like, excuse me. So it's great memories as well, the stuff that she would say to us. Oh, it
she
was
had a cracking sense of humour by the sound of it.
Cracking sense of humour. She'd be gas. So, you know, there is some very fond memories of that time as
sure,
well.
Sure, sure. So. And at least, you know, the thing is that you have no regrets because I suppose had you stayed doing what you're doing. Not that there would have been anything wrong with it either, and I'm sure she would have been supportive of that decision. But you may have had to have lived with that, knowing that you didn't come home. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, you were there. You were there when it mattered. Well, yeah. you're an amazing person, and I'm so glad for you that you had that precious time with her.
Yeah.
As you said, it changed you. How do you think? What were the biggest changes you've like noticed since going through that experience? Because that's a huge loss. That's a huge void in your life. Somebody who meant so much to you.
It really is. And I think for me, that really stems the whole value that I hold now as an artist of the staying true to yourself.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of what massively came out of it, because, you know, I could have lost myself for a few years being somebody else and lost my nan, and I think I would have been in a very dark and lonely place. Whereas I lost her, but I found myself. And that was really nice for me, because I'm now so happy as a person. And I don't know, it being her song, then I kind of always knew that they're the songs I should be writing. And this is where I'm going to be. And it's so manifest that it is. It is where I am. And now I'm sitting here. And yeah, I feel like I'm doing okay.
That's really powerful. That's really powerful what you said. You know, that you lost her, but you found yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to start going again now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. As, yeah. But it is, that's huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've actually never really even properly thought about it like that myself. But I think that is what is inside me at the moment.
Yeah. Well, she's always with you then.
Oh, forever. Forever.
Yeah.
That little one in my head. She's so funny.
Yeah. And then I would imagine whenever you come up against anyone who wants to change you against what you are yourself, that you have that resilience, that knowing that also that ability to go, you know, I can walk away from this because I know what's more important to me is staying true to my principles, to what I believe in.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic place to be as an artist.
Yeah, it's lovely. It really is. It's nice to know that you
that gives you power.
That you have that power in yourself to, you know, kind of live your life how you want to live it. Like, I know sometimes people are like, you know, as an artist that you have like this genre and that you have this road and you have to stick in this road. And I believe that for years. But like, you know, now doing what I do and create music, like I might go in one day and want to write a ballad. I might go in the next day and write a pop song. I might want to go in the next day and write something else. Like, you know, I'm loving that I now have the confidence as well to like be able to explore different things within myself. Whereas before I'd be like, oh no, I'm a pop artist, I can only write pop songs. Or like, oh no, I'm a dark demon, I can only write like really dark music. I was also going through that, and now I'm just like, you know what? I'm really enjoying just being an artist.
Yeah.
And if I want to write something on one day that reflects how I'm feeling, then that's what I'm going to do.
Well, the great thing about you is you are so unique. You're so distinctive. And I know one of your own personal influences was the wonderful Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah. She is wicked.
Yeah.
Just, for me, as an Irish artist, being able to hear another woman with a voice that kind of makes me feel safe.
Yeah, she never lost her accent.
Always.
It's class.
And she always had this very distinct voice that also was quite like brash and loud, which are things that I suppose in the pop industry at the start was not what they wanted to hear. They wanted like very polished and clean cut vocals, which I don't have. And she didn't have. And then when I heard her, I was like, I can be Dolores too. So that was really cool for me.
Yeah.
As a girl growing up being like, oh, I don't have to sound like everyone else. Dolores doesn't, so why do I?
Yeah.
So that was great.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All bodies are beautiful, all bodies are amazing, but your body in particular seems to wear certain clothes really, really well. You suit your flamboyant style so brilliantly, and you own it and you work it, and it looks like there's a hell of a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah, it is like a job and a job and a job. Like, yeah. It's a lot, but I love it. And like days like, for instance, when I'm getting the bus home now later, down in the air coach, so I'm so fancy, I'll be spending that 3 hours like looking on sites and like saving things so that when I know I have things coming up that okay. I almost like have a bank of stuff. But like I get a lot of it from like eBay or Amazon or like the secondhand one Depop, like okay. things like that. And like a lot of them are like drag outfits that I get and then just like alter them a bit and stuff like that. So I just like having fun with it, or dresses that I just chop into like that have no fronts on them so I can just wear my leotard and my boots underneath them or yes. stuff like that. I think before independence I started spraying the dress and I just chopped it in half as a jacket and sprayed it green to go with my green dress that I was actually wearing. So like it can be anything. Really,
you're very creative. I suppose yeah. naively I might think, you know, you have a stylist doing that for you, but it sounds like you're very much doing it yourself.
Yeah, I do it myself.
And where did that come from? Did you always have a flair for fashion?
I always loved fashion, like yeah. all the time.
Like, well, it sounds like it from when you were talking about being a kid and you were always, you know, into it. But
yeah.
Are you good then? Like if I gave you a needle and thread, would you be able to do
no.
something with it? Oh, no.
No.
That's a bridge too far.
No. A scissors, a glue gun and a spray can. Okay. I mean, junk couture, that's me. That is me. I can sew. Like if I have to, I can like do something that will hold together for like a show.
Okay.
You know, like at Electric Picnic, we had to sew the neck when I had it on.
Oh, right, yeah. And cut you out of it at the end, was it?
That's about it. Basically. That's what happens.
What's been your favourite look?
One of my favourite looks was the VIP awards when I wore the Balenciaga. Just because I felt like it was so different for me. Like I was saying to the guys, like Sandra that does my makeup, I was like, but this is just so boring. This is so boring. And she was like, you're wearing full Balenciaga.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, it's not boring. And I was like, yeah. And then when I saw it back, I was like, it was just nice to kind of go a bit plainer than normally my like va-va-voom outfits.
Yeah.
And then I actually really liked the one that I wore for C-sessions. It was actually like a diamante dress. And then I got this like skirt made of tulle that I just wrapped around it and kind of like made it look like it was a part of the dress. And then my tie-high boots. I thought that one ended up coming together pretty well. Yeah, that one as well.
And I'm sure you're planning, as you said, on the way down, like you'll be there researching, planning.
I think I have 32 outfits to plan for the next 2 tours.
Well, yeah, so talk about the tours because you've a load of dates coming up all over the place.
I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this since before lockdown because before lockdown I'd done a tour of Ireland, my very first one, and it sold out. And I was like, what? It's sold out? What's happening? And then obviously we went into lockdown. And now we're out and this is like the first time I'm going on tour since then. And the venues have like increased and I'm like, holy guacamole, I'm going to bigger venues. That's pretty cool in itself.
Yeah.
So
a lot of them have sold out as well.
Yeah, a lot of them brilliant. Have. I actually just stop asking so my anxiety gets the best of me. I'm like, oh, I can't handle it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go. And if there's people there, great. I'm really looking forward to that. So starting the end of October.
Into November
and then I go straight from my own tour on tour at Westlife in the UK.
Yeah, that'll
so
be
that's
cool.
going to be
and
great.
They're like their big arena shows.
Yeah,
it'll be deadly.
They're like mind blowing.
Yeah,
I'm going to be like a little ant on the stage by myself.
No, you're
like,
going to own it. You're going to own it, and your vibe and your energy is going to fill the space. It's going to be class.
Yeah, I better tone down the outfits for that one, I think.
Oh no, more is more.
I don't know about the butt hanging out for those ones. The mothers would be like, Jesus, would she put some clothes on her? I'll be mortal. So let's see.
So the new single is 29 Boxes, just out a week.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
1 week, baby. So she was kind of written randomly.
Are all your songs female?
No.
No.
Some of them aren't.
Okay.
I mean, there's some coming out and I don't know what they are. I mean, they don't even know what they are. Yeah.
They're fluid. Okay.
So I was just at home one day and I had a kind of a week where I was a bit up and down emotion wise and I was comparing myself a lot to what I was seeing online of, like, as honest as I'll be, is like stupid things like, oh, how is their show sold out? My show hasn't sold out. I was doing stupid things in my mind like that. I was just having a week where I just felt like I was getting a bit lost.
And anyway, that's not normally like you, is it?
No, normally I don't look at things like that. I don't even read comments or anything that much anymore because I don't want to get affected by the small majority of people who decide not to be nice. So I just don't go there. So, like, don't get me wrong, I love social media in the way that, like, it can really help an artist. It can help us stay in contact with our friends. Like, there's plenty of weddings I've missed that I felt like I've been there through social media. It's great. Mm. But there is that small percentage of people that just decide to ruin it for everyone and really get in there under people's skins. And that day was just one of those days for me where I kind of just had enough of it. And I felt like I'm sick of comparing myself to everyone and everything. And I'm sick of people saying bad things about me when they don't even know who I am, really. So I sat down on the couch literally and wrote 29 Boxes in like 2 hours. And she just came pouring out and like put 4 chords down, put them on loop. And it just was this. And 29 Boxes is actually like the maximum size of a post that you can have on social media.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where the whole thing came from. And then it's like, you know, do you love me like this? Do you love me like that? Or, you know, it's pretty raw, I must say. Like when you hear the song and read the lyrics, it kind of explains exactly what it's about.
We're going to play a little bit of it now. So here is a little taster. I'm soaking this 29 bucks. You see me smiling, but inside I'm lost. I'm soaking this 29 bucks. You think this is real life, but I know that it's not. Do you love me like this? Do you love me like that? It smiles to a bright, it hurts. Do you love me like this? Do you love me like that? Words are sharp, they cut. So is it going to be a different outfit for every show?
My plan is to do a different outfit for every show until...
That's a lot
like,
of work.
It's a lot of work.
Wow.
Except for, you know, when it's like a double show, like a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I might wear the same outfit for those. I might. Only if time is not on my side.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of outfits.
That's a huge amount of work.
It's so much work.
Yeah.
But especially because I like wearing things that are a bit different or out there. So you can't bloody be rocking into Topshop and buying them off the shelf. Like, they don't come like that.
Yeah.
So like, I always have to get something and alter it or like add something to it or stuff like that.
Is a part of the confidence kit, is a part of the persona of Lyra, the stage performer, that when you step into the booth or you step into the outfit that you embody the I'm now, this is the me on stage. As in, like if you were to wear, what you're wearing today is lovely, but it's cash.
Yeah.
If you were to step on stage as you are now, would you be able to sing in the same way?
No.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't be able to move in the same way. And I just wouldn't. Like, if I walked in here now even to do an interview in my Electric Picnic outfit, I feel like it might even be a different interview because I just get this feeling and I don't know what it is. It's like, and it's not that I'm a different person. It's just that my confidence comes out a bit more. Like even today, sitting down, having a chat across the table, like I feel nervous and I feel like very inward in myself. But it's just probably because I'm not as confident like this than I am when I'm on stage.
Well, you hide it well. I wouldn't have thought that at all about you. I'm going to be honest. You seem so comfortable, so grounded. But that is really interesting, isn't it? So there's an element of you have an alter ego. And I'd say that's a very common thing for the majority of artists.
I'd say so, yeah. Like even like when I was over at Dancing with Stars watching the dancers, and like they'd come out in their costumes, and like they're always like, oh, you second put your costume on and you hear the music, it's just like they're like fierce.
Yeah.
And you're like, I suppose it's just for a lot of performers, it's like, you know, once you get there, the lights are on, you're made up, you just come alive.
Yeah. Now, I know that you did the podcast with Brian Dowling and Lottie, like the backstage podcast, which was fantastic. And I know it's been asked a million times, Vijay, but I have to ask, like, would you do it yourself?
No way.
No way.
I'm shocking at dancing.
Like, you do the crab.
Yeah, the crab and a long face. I'd love to do it, obviously, for the costumes and the makeup and the hair would be great.
Yeah.
But I can't dance in my life. I don't think they could teach me how to put a dance. Because sometimes when I get nervous, like, and not good as a musician, like, I can go, like, a bit deaf and, like, I can just, like, freak out if I get too nervous. Imagine me dancing deaf, not being able to dance. They're like, what's happening, Lyra? Somebody just get her off the stage. I don't think that's a vibe for me. I think my career would go rock bottom.
I don't buy into that at all. But anyway, so come here. We know you love being on stage and doing that. But what in your downtime, what is your favourite thing to do?
Walk the legs off myself with my dad. Literally, we're like two walkers. We just walk everywhere.
Walk and talk?
Yeah, and eat.
Oh,
walk,
love it.
Talk and eat.
Yeah.
So like walk for the coffee, then walk for the lunch, then walk probably for a cake. Like this is what we do, the story of our lives. That and babysitting my sister's kids is like a massive thing.
Oh.
Because I'm obsessed with kids to death. Like I used to actually work in a kids club for free after school. Like I'm just a kid person.
Really?
Yeah, I love them.
For free?
Yes, for free. Just I don't know why I would do it. And I got weed on and pooed on and the lot, and I still done it for free. I was like, what is wrong with you, girl? I just love kids. I don't know. They're just so innocent, and they just, they make life seem okay.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, it's actually not as bad as it seems. Look how cute you are. And like, they're just so, I love them. So I do a lot of that. Like when I come home, I do turn into a bit of a Nanny McPhee. Like her friends will see me down around where she lives, and I just be like, hair scoped up on top of my head, tracks on, and they're like, that's your sister Lyra. And like the kids hanging off me, snots everywhere, and I'm literally in my element, and I love it.
Oh, it's class.
That's another thing that I love to do on my off time. I come home as much as I can to see them.
Yeah,
I don't know, just
a normal life.
Yeah.
Do you have, are you a person that operates off a, you know, the way we talk about a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, or a yearly plan? Do you do goals?
Not really. I used to, and then I'm kind of like, if I didn't reach it, I would like bait myself up about it, and I'd really let it get into my head. And I almost then would start living my life towards that rather than just actually just living life and getting places. So I've kind of stopped doing that, and I'm just like, you know what? All I really want to do next year is get as much music out as I can, because I have so much music that I want it to come out, because there's like probably about 3 albums worth of songs that needs to be shown into the world, and I'm still writing new stuff as well. So I just, that's my plan, as much music as I can get out there, because that's what it's about.
So are you in this creative space now, or did it happen like through the pandemic? Were you still able to create? Because I know a lot of creatives struggled initially to create, to write music, or to do whatever their own thing was creatively, because of the high levels of fear that were in the world. A lot of people did kind of, they felt like their creativity was stifled.
I wrote a good bit during lockdown, but I actually had a lot of it before lockdown, because that's when we were like, she's ready to serve.
Yeah.
So like had a lot of that. It's just unfortunate we couldn't get back into the studios to redo them, because they're all at demo level where I've like written them in a day. So I have a lot of it from that, and I was working quite a bit over in LA, and obviously I couldn't go in there for ages. So there's a lot of that. Like there was a time that I was going through, and I became, which is so unlike me, even though you think I was wild, but I had a bit of a, like a wild time for like a couple of months, and I was like over in LA, and I was like living this dream of like thinking I was this Californication kind of girl. I was like, who am I right now? And I actually wrote music over there that I never thought I'd be able to write. So I'm really excited about that coming out. I think people are going like, Lyra, and I'm like, yes, she's here. She's arrived. It's so much fun.
Well, I'm excited for you listening to you, because I can feel that sense of I'm just ready to let everybody else in on what's been going on.
Yeah,
which is cool. One last question before I let you go, because I'm always really interested, because I know a lot of people are very different, and some people have their own little rituals or processes before and after a performance, whatever it is, be it an actor on a stage or a singer on a stage, whatever it is. But do you have anything in particular that you do before you hit the stage, and how are you afterwards? How's the mood? How's the vibe? Are you out like party central, or do you like alone time? How does that all work?
So before I go on stage, I am the type of person that I like to be by myself for a while before I get on, just because I literally, I know you can't really tell when I'm on stage, but like I do get nervous. So I like nobody around me. So I like to kind of like get in myself, try and calm myself down, steam my voice a lot.
Steam your voice.
Yeah, it's like this vocal steamer. Everyone has them, like little crockery pots. Literally, I think people think that I do a bong before I go on stage because that's what it looks like. Like, this
you
is a vocal steamer. Yeah, this is a bloody vocal steamer, guys. I do that. And if I can have like a family member there, especially like my sister, I like one of them to be in the room with me because it's just so soothing. It's unbearable how soothing it is. Or one of my managers. They're the only people that I really like to have like in my space when I'm going on stage. Then I do this thing when I'm walking stage where I bang my stomach and just go, ha, 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 just to kind of rev me up a bit from gut. And I'm like, right, I'm ready, I'm ready.
You're making me think of Matthew McConaughey in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. That's me and Matthew. Ooh. I wish.
That's kind of cool.
I'm bringing him on tour with me any day. We've just wept. Christ on a bike. He's handsome. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And then the second I hear, like, I normally start with White Lady because it has a long intro on it. So it's nice to like have the stage empty and then the intro comes on and then I walk onto the music. And the second I hear that first note, I'm like, and rough.
And it's gone. Nervousness is
gone.
Disappeared.
Like, absolutely gone. But another thing actually that I do is the first line of White Lady, I will continuously sing it on my way to stage because I have this thing where if that first line goes well, I'm mentally set up right. Mm. I'm in a positive frame.
Whereas the rest
like,
will roll.
I went on first and the first note was like, and I was like, no. And I felt like I oversang for the rest of the gig because I was so annoyed at myself that I had bummed up that note. And it just makes it worse because I try and do these things vocally that I don't need to do because I'm trying to overcompensate for that note.
Right.
So I do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I come off stage, I'm normally quite emotional. I don't know why. I sometimes get a bit emotional myself because it's such a high being there. And like, I think only recently I feel like I'm really known when I get on stage now, and like I hear people singing a lot, and like, you know, people asking for photos and stuff, and I feel like it's really starting for me. So I get a bit emotional when I come off, and then
it must be amazing to hear people sing your words back.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice. Like it's what I've kind of lived for, the people knowing them that much that they can sing them back to you. So I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I'm not. Give me about an hour and a half and then I'm like, Jesus, I'm ready for the bit. I'm wrecked.
Okay, so you're not like,
I get like
tequilas till dawn.
No, right. I am not that. I say I could drink 15 bottles of tequila and I would never reach that high anyway.
Okay.
So I'm like, what's the point in chasing it here? I'm just going to be dead as a dog in the morning. So
yeah. And also, I suppose you're being a professional because you're probably trying to save your voice, because if you go out partying, you're screaming or roaring and you might lose your voice and then you have a gig the next night. That's not going to be practical.
Yeah.
So are we like a cup of Ovaltine? And the cozy slippers.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I said I still would have a few glasses of something.
Right.
But I just wouldn't go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I wouldn't be creamy out there.
Yeah.
I just let my sister do that for me.
Okay.
Oh, hard electric. I was like, I love you so much. It's her first time out in ages after having the babies.
You'd be mauled. Like, oh. But if you went out in amongst the masses, you would just be mauled.
Oh, last year, no, I wouldn't have been. If we had been allowed out, they would have been like, you're right. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm just here, my arse hanging out. I'm obviously just after performing. I'm not just walking around like this. But this year, people were actually coming up to me and I was like, oh my God. And they're like, do you mind? I'm like, no, I'm loving it. I'm like, thank you. Thanks for asking for a photo. It's wicked. It was really cool. I was like, this is amazing.
Well, it's been really cool for me to meet you. I think you're deadly. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Congrats on the single. Congrats on the tour. And obviously 2023 is looking very bright for you. So have that holiday. Get the holiday in January, because you are going to be flat out by the sound of things.
She is.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me.
For a full list of tour dates, check out lyra.ie.
Next week, we take a deep dive into confidence with Professor Ian Robertson. And if you enjoyed my chat with Lyra, please share it with friends, family, or on social media. And you can support what I do in all the usual ways by clicking follow, giving a rating, or leaving a little comment. You've been listening to Ready to Be Real.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.